Hello and welcome. Scare track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
The
quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
But he's too buff to be real!
Hello and Happy New Year from Scare Track. My name is Mikey and today's episode is an interview episode with Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. Last October they visited Orlando for Halloween Horror Nights but also got chance to visit Dark Horizon Orlando. Dark Horizon, a brand new event in its very first year, and myself and Hannah interview Dan and Jess all about their visit. So without any further ado, let's take you to the interview with the guys from UK Haunters.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hi guys and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. As I said in the intro, I am here with Hannah. Hannah, how's it going?
Hi.
Hello, Hannah, awake from her slumber. And we are also joined once again on the podcast by Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. Guys, how's it going?
Loving it. Another crossover. Can't get enough of these.
Yeah, absolutely. UK Haunt, you helped us sort of take over this Halloween. You managed to do a few videos for us. So, guys, if you haven't checked that out yet, head over to our YouTube channel where you'll be able to see where Dan and Jess from UK Haunters took over Scare Track and Scare Cam. We've done a few episodes. But this episode, all about Dark Horizon, which is an event in Orlando. You guys went over to do Halloween Horror Nights 29, is it now? 29?
Yeah.
29.
Yeah. And we're going to do a whole episode on that, about all the scare mazes, all the houses, haunts, and the scare zones. But we're going to talk about that in another feature-length episode when we talk about a few things that may be popping up for this year, the anniversary year of Halloween Horror Nights 30. But you got to go and visit Dark Horizon in Orlando as well whilst you're out there. So this episode is all about that, really. We, myself and Hannah, don't really know much about it. We've not really heard of it before here in the UK. So, what's it all about? Was it your first time? Had you visited before? How did you find out about the event? And basically, how did it hold up?
It was the first event. It was their first Dark Horizon event.
In Orlando.
They are the guys who started at... What was it? Bush Gardens? What's the one in LA that started all? Hello
Gardens
Screams.
In Florida.
Hello Scream?
No, you're thinking, oh...
What's the one in LA?
Mary's Dark Harbour, was it not those?
Yeah, but yeah. Before that... What, you know more about haunts than me, young man.
Oh,
what's
gosh.
The ones that started off in LA?
In LA.
Bloody famous.
Not Scary Farm.
Not Scary Farm.
Apparently,
it's the crew that started Not Scary Farm at the very beginning, and they're the ones who created most of the... Now, this is all what I've read, so if I'm wrong about this... No hate mail. If you hate, don't go do one because it is well read. But I read that they're the ones who started a lot of the new style scares, which got adopted. Then they left to do
St. Mary's Dark Harbour,
which is based on LA lore. Because when they this one in Orlando, it's all based on swamps and pirates and use certain. Historical references to pirates and voodoo queens and all
and
this
stuff that was
and stuff has actually happened around Florida.
Right. Okay.
So,
sweet.
Yeah, it was the first one.
So they sort of they've been doing it a long time. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think it was quite interesting because we were told when we were out there, we got chatting to one of the guys that were running it, and it was their first time there. It was actually held in the old Nickelodeon Hotel parking lot.
Oh.
which is surprisingly a huge space. You don't think it's going to be, but it's massive. And they have rented that plot for the next 3 years.
Oh, okay. So this is definitely going to be there for the next two seasons at least, then.
Yes.
Awesome. Sweet. And I'm looking at their Instagram now. Unfortunately, their website's currently down, I'm guessing, for maintenance ready for this season. But Dark Horizon, it says it's Florida's first ever West Coast-style haunt featuring three haunted houses, four bars, and two stages. So it seems quite like a big deal for their first year.
Yeah, it was. It was, I maybe went on the wrong night. It didn't seem very busy.
Well, from the reviews and things that we'd read, it wasn't that busy anyway. Because if you think about Florida, you think about Halloween, you think Mickey's Not So Scary. You think about Halloween Horror Nights. You think about Busch Gardens, Hallow Scream. What else have they got there? They've got the scare one at bloody SeaWorld, which is scary enough with whales. But let's not go Blackfish on this.
Yeah, we don't go SeaWorld.
So it's relatively new and it's up against some big names and some big competition.
Although, I have to say, we can't swear on this podcast, can we?
Go on.
It's fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
It was. There's this thing that I've got a friend called Jason Hignite who's used to help run Horror Hound. He's now doing his own thing. I'm not sure if we can talk about that.
I won't.
But
maybe for another day.
But he's a haunt himself, and he was talking about haunts, and we were talking about Halloween Horror Nights because he drove up from Miami to meet us, and we went to Dark Horizon with him, and he was saying, yeah, they call them scares, but they're not really, are they? I said, what do you mean? He said, well, they don't scare you; they startle you.
Mm.
I was like, eh? He said, yeah, if you're like walking down all creepy, someone goes, bah! You get startled. That's not being scared; it's being startled. And I thought, do you know what? He's got a good, it's a very good point.
True.
And kind of, I started reevaluating the whole scare and blah, blah, blah. Dark Horizon scared me twice.
Okay, which is good to get someone who's been doing a lot of haunts.
And I think it was the same bugger had it out for me.
Well, I mean, it's quite easy to find because you're very tall. If you're scared, I'm guessing you give off quite a loud, I'm not going to say squeal, Dan, but a bit of a loud
yell. Squeal.
Definite squeal. So, sometimes it's too easy to, without trying to sound, it's 2020, I don't want to sound sexist or anything like that, but some people like to get the girl carrying at the back, they feel that that's the easy scare, but if they can get the big 6-foot-what guy, built like a big shit house from England, scared, then they're going to try and do that again, I guess.
Flip side, I love it.
Yeah.
Because the good thing about this not being super packed is Halloween Horror Nights, we went through each house about three times over the course there, maybe four, Killer Clown House, probably 10, but we'll go into that next week. But I'd be trying to hold myself back because I've seen the scare happens. I think, right, well, they're going to reset, wait and do it. So I want to get the scares.
Yeah.
So people go, oh, I got you. I'm like, yeah, you did. Amazing.
But also the fact that they had free rein. They weren't sort of stuck to their scare. They could follow you around.
Yeah.
They could move around. It had, it almost combined the best of both worlds of a sort of hokey little independent haunt with the big glossy.
I wouldn't say it's hokey at all. One of them was a bloody pirate ship.
But you know what I mean when I'm talking about little independent haunts that don't have the budget that Halloween Horror Nights have.
I respectfully disagree with the budgetary. I think there was
so I'm going to win. so it was the fact that they had the glossy level of Halloween Horror Nights, but the freedom to run around as actors, as opposed to being stuck in one bit doing the same scare repeatedly.
Yeah,
if that makes
definitely. Sense. I suppose Halloween Horror Nights is a very regimented sort of thing.
Yeah.
Probably due to the numbers of obviously the people there and whatnot. But I suppose it's more similar to UK style-y sort of stuff than the fact that. Obviously, each scare attraction here in the UK is obviously slightly different. But if people want to leave their room, they can a bit. If they want to follow you a bit, they can. They can scare from different areas. So I suppose it gives that actor a bit more flexibility at Dark Horizon.
Yeah,
definitely.
And there's, Like, there's one where there's a certain... I just wanted to talk about this, but... Jay, she's giving me a look. Don't go too far into it, Daniel, because I want to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Get the Wi-Fi here. but there's certain things that you can do, which means you have to interact with them.
Oh, yeah, it's very interactive.
So you can. So we were there running around. Do you know what? Talk about the first house, babes. You want to talk about this one?
Okay. Go on, let's go. So, let's go. House number one.
House number one is Ghost Ship.
Okay.
And this was my favourite because of the interaction. Now, if you don't like interaction or if you are a very big scaredy cat, you are going to miss out on this one and you're not going to enjoy it as much. And that's just being completely honest. So Ghost Ship is basically like a pirate ship. Now, I had heard rumours that the fun thing about this haunt is that before there was such a build up and there was hints dropped on Instagram and on Facebook and little things here and there, but nothing was written on paper or in front of you. And these little hints were there is a secret hidden bar.
Oh, okay. Oh, me and Hannah like secret hidden bars. Hannah's just woke up now because you said there was bar.
Good morning, Hannah. So you've got to find this secret bar. Now, I had been told that you had to speak to actors, the scare actors, to
find
it.
No, you had to speak to a pirate.
Yeah, but that's what we found out afterwards. So we've gone through Ghost Ship, and it's amazing. There were pirates, and the whole idea is that it's a female pirate crew are taking over.
Nice.
And you are this woman at the end, that the captain, who told me she wanted me to be captain's mate, and quite frankly, I was about to divorce Dan over it.
That's fair enough. I think you'd do the same, wouldn't you, to be honest?
Definitely. Yeah. For a bar.
And then the end of the maze is that you have to walk the plank.
Oh, okay. I'm going to inject here. I had what I like to refer to as an age awakening. To walk the plank, there's a big inflatable slide that goes onto a cover, which is you going into the sea.
Cool.
Now, this was about 20 foot high, I'd say. Quite like, I mean, it was a front of a boat. And everyone was climbing nicely on the side and sliding down. And I, like the smart ass, went, fuck this. Bing, and just flinged myself down, went bounce, 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 bang, hit the floor. Nice. And I hurt. I got up and was like, and for like the next 2 hours, I was like, ow,
yeah.
ow. Yeah, I'm 42 going on 43 next month, man. My body cannot be slung down a 24-foot slide and smashing the concrete anymore.
However, my sprightly 20-odd-year-old body repeatedly... go down the slide.
Yeah, but you went down it normally like everyone else and slid down.
Oh, no, there was one I threw myself down because a pirate lady got friendly.
Oh. Was that an escape?
Yeah, it was an escape.
Oh. You got me too'd by a pirate.
Yeah.
Well.
So we started talking to these scare actors asking if they knew about a secret bar. And then we was told you need a token for the secret bar. You need some form of doubloons.
Are you writing this down, Hannah, yeah?
You need to speak to various creatures.
Yeah. So then,
one creature said speak to one.
And then they said...
Yeah, speak to a zombie. The zombie said speak to a pirate.
No, the zombie said we don't carry coins.
Yeah.
Who likes coins? Pirates. So then we went and spoke to the pirates and I said, do you have any coins for me? And she said, no, but I got this big booty, and turned around and wiggled her bum, which was amazing.
Okay, great. I'm liking this place more and more.
It was incredible. So much fun. So then we decided to go through the maze yet again, because there was a bit in there where there are two drunk pirates.
Okay.
So I'm going through that and I started talking to the drunk pirates, and drunk pirates have coins.
Of course.
So once you found the coin, you've then got to find the bar.
Oh, no, remember before that? Well, I mean, we went through this five times looking for this sodding bar.
Yeah.
One time we went to one bit and we said, where's a hidden bar? And they said, I'll give you a clue. You can see it through that slat there.
Oh, yeah, and you had 3 seconds to look.
And he said, you've got 3 seconds to look. If you can spot it, I'll tell you where it is and give you the coin. If you can't, you've got to go through the maze again.
It's cool that they keep letting you go through, though.
Yeah. But it is. I mean, because it wasn't so Halloween Horror Nights rammed, the re-going through ability, I'm not quite sure nicer way of,
I suppose, on rides it's called re-rideability, isn't it? So re-rideability
of this house is amazing. And they just do, because they can free roam as well. You'll talk to different ones, some will wind you up, some will say there's no bar here and laugh. I mean, it's just, So you go through it again and again and again, and in the end.
So in the end, we saw the mate. We saw what looked like an X. Someone said to us, X marks the spot. So you're looking through it and you see an X and you say, I've seen the X. And so she sends you through again. You walk the plank, you go back through and you discover where X is.
Right.
Now, the X is actually a little coin slot. You put the coin in and the door opens and you found the secret bar.
Ah, nice.
And it was really cool that you had your pet pirate in there you could play with. And it was a guy that was in shackles that would talk to you and sort of interact with you.
Oh, to get out of the bar, there's a dead body you have to pull, which I quite like as well.
Oh, yeah. It was they said to leave. No, it's leave the bar. You've got to fondle the dirty blonde.
Yeah.
and it was a blonde dummy woman and you have to pull her arm to get out, which was quite fun.
That's quite
but
cool.
The thing is, when we first went through that horn, bar my comedic smashing of my limbs, we were kind of like, yeah, it's all right, but it's not that great. But then when you had the game to it,
yeah,
it got better. Because you've gone through again, they're like, oh, we'll get these guys in a different way. So if
we know what makes them
yeah,
jump.
If that was just a Halloween Horror Nights style and you went through it once, you'd be like, it's not that great. Because we went through it five times, we had to interact and chat and find, go, oh, no, you've got to go to bloody plank again and go through again. It made it a really, really fun house.
Yeah, it's the interactivity just added to the scares, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
And I'm always down for a bar.
And Hannah's always down for a bar, yeah.
And just the fun of it as well. I mean, it got to a point where it wasn't scary. It was just fun because we're like, oh my God, you know, it was a game. And the thing is, you'd go like, oh, we've obviously missed it. We're at the end again.
Yeah.
So you think, oh, you've got to go all the way around. And it's just like, you think, I don't want to go through it again. I just want to kind of get to it. But it's, yeah.
You sort of befriend the actors as yeah. well, the scare actors, and you start talking to them. And
because it's like, some people just, like, when we were in, again, this is nipping into Halloween Horror Nights, but when we did the scare actor dining,
mm.
people didn't want to interact.
Yeah, people don't want to interact over there. And I'm like, why? Where there's
you
know,
you get more out of it the more you put into it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
The scare actors would be doing this, all these things to people, and they're like, oh, come here and spank me and learn all this stuff. And people were just like looking at them like, what the hell? Our guy came over and we ended up fucking dancing on a table. We're putting dollars in his hands.
Yeah. Me and Hannah are similar with that. And we go to Europa Park every year in Germany, don't we? And that's especially if we go into the maze, which is the pack maze, which is basically it's a giant bar maze, isn't it? Really, Hannah, it's like you go in, it's a bar.
Where are you going with this?
Then, well, I'm just saying the interactiveness, like because we wear T-shirts that correspond with the houses we go in. I wear a pack of T-shirts, so when I go through that house, I'm treated like royalty because I'm wearing a pack of T-shirt. Whereas Hannah, say she went through the Resistance house, you were wearing your Shadow T-shirt, you would get absolutely terrorized, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But so that Hannah's looking at me all confused now. Well, that's what I mean by interactivity. You sort of interact. We're quite lucky that we get to go through them quite a lot of times as well. So, and the actors know us a little bit, so there's interaction there. But I always find you have a more fun time. The more you put into it, the more you get out of it, basically.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Sweet. And yeah. You got to go in a cool bar. And so was this bar like an act, like was it just like another scene? Would you be able to get a drink in there?
No,
it's just
bar. You could
full
buy
on
a drink.
Chill out in the bar.
You could buy. They only had two options, and one of them, I believe, was... What was it? Was it the red-headed slut?
Yeah, I thought voodoo juice. Was that what
No,
the...
voodoo juice was what the devil lady gave us.
Oh. I'm not fair, they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, they were, but what do you expect for a theme park-esque yeah. prizes?
And let's be honest, it's kind of a captive market. Let's be honest, you just spent six goes through the maze to get in the bloody bar. You're going to buy a drink, aren't you?
Exactly.
Well, the thing is that whilst we did the other houses a few times, we went back through, just go to the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, once you know it, it's perfect. Sweet. So what was this is all about pirates, and I'm guessing all the actors were quality and they're interacting with you. And you say that you was this where you got one of your biggest scares down? Was it in this maze?
Oh, no, sir.
It almost sort of went in scare levels, didn't it? It kind yeah. of went up. Ghost Ship was the least scariest, but it was, for me, I found it the most fun.
Yeah, yeah, that was definitely the most entertaining. The second one was the slave one. Yeah, with the alligator in it.
Oh, that was shit me up.
The alligator. Oh, yes, yeah, it was called it was a Murder slave House one. Or something.
And that was about a guy who...
But Murder Island.
Murder Island, that's about a guy who basically used slaves and then killed them.
Okay.
Nice. All the slaves, yeah.
Bloody Ed Watson was
Bloody
his name.
Ed Watson, and I think that's based on real thing. He used that slave labour
right.
and then killed him.
Yeah.
But I think that's based on real.
And
then
he would feed them to the gator.
Yeah.
Right.
And that was kind of cool. But the last house, I love swamps, anything swamp based, I'm all over. But the last house, the voodoo house, that was something.
That was, yeah.
Serious. And that is where I got my scares.
Okay, I mean, they're both in the same house.
No, two different houses. So that the next house was called Murder Island, and that was the one about slave labour and mm-hmm. gators. That was good. It certainly increased the scare, and they would separate you more.
Yeah.
So we was in a group of four, and there was two men and two girls. So when the men went ahead, they'd stop the guys and ensured that we went past them. So we were then going in front
and
sort of
sometimes
they'd
separate us. Sometimes they just called me off.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
But because they're super interactive, they'll just call you.
Sweet.
They'll just corn you and chat and go blah, blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Have you heard the curse?
Yeah.
Murder Island.
And they'll just keep you nattering for 2 minutes so your friends have buggered off and then you've got to do the rest of the maze by yourself.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, no.
Hannah's just shaking her head. Nope. I love things like that, though, because you go into that maze not anticipating you're going to be by yourself, then all of a sudden, halfway through, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
What do I do now? And that's when they can just get you better, can't they, if you're by yourself?
Yeah. And again, you know, if you're nattering to them, they kind of, the other scare actors kind of overhear or seal because they're wondering, they sort of, oh, this guy's into it.
Yeah.
If you're just there going, oh, I don't know, maybe I'll just go, oh, we'll just scare the crap out of him. But if you look like you're into it, then they'll be a bit they'll be a bit more interactive with you because they know that you're going to get more out of it.
Yeah.
And they know it's going to be fun for them. So, yeah, so it's really...
I mean, for me, I think Murder Island was probably my least favourite house.
Yeah, see, Murder Island was my second favourite. That's strange, it was three, when you go through favourites,
yeah.
It gets a bit silly. It was, I thought, when I went through Pirate Ship, I was like, that's cool. Then went through this one, thought, oh, this is way better. Having then gone through Pirate Ship another 5-6 times to find the bar, I was like, actually, no, that's better, because that's more entertaining. But this one was creepier.
This was more traditional haunt style.
Okay. Yeah.
And they had an animatronic gator, which was quite cool.
Yeah, and swamps and alligators, man, that is me.
That scares me, that just... That, I don't do...
You're similar with swamps, alligators, snakes, reptiles.
Anything, like, yeah, I'm probably the exact opposite. I say opposite, like, that's the stuff that does scare me the most, but only because... I used to have a megaphobia of snakes, big time, and don't snore, Hannah. And I'm getting over it now.
Snakes are horrible.
As soon as you sort of, I go into anywhere that's sort of like jungly themed, or like you say, swamp, or you hear, you know, you go through that noise. Thanks, Hannah. instantly, I go shit. There's going to be some sort of reptile, and alligators are fucking terrifying.
Oh no, they're amazing. Oh, have you ever been to Gatorland? Obviously not.
It would be like
your worst time. I love it.
I wouldn't like it.
And don't get me wrong, I won't do the zip wire because I'm a big bugger, and if that snaps, I don't want to be in the water with the alligators. I don't want to cuddle them.
You just want to look at them from afar.
But to stand on the walkway. And look at like a lake full of gators, and you get to feed them. I think they're fantastic animals. They're my favourite animals.
See, they're cool. Don't get me wrong, they're cool animals, but they just freak me out. Just freak me out too much.
Oh, yeah, no, they're terrifying.
Yeah, terrifying.
They are terrifying. And I'm not one of those idiots that go, oh, if I would like to own one, cuddle one. No, it's a fucking dinosaur. It's a dinosaur.
Yeah, it's just a modern day dinosaur, isn't it?
Speaking of Gatorland and haunts, they actually do a nighttime horror thing around Halloween where you get given a lantern and you walk around the Gatorland in the dark.
Because Gatorland is in a swamp, so it is pitch black.
Yeah.
Okay. All kinds of nope there. Nope.
Yeah,
and
like
you just see all these reflective gator eyes. We haven't actually got around to doing it yet because we've always got so much stuff to do.
Every time we go to Gatorland, we nearly die. So.
No, we don't.
Oh, yes. What, with that cottonmouth snake? And snapping turtles. And...
Snapping turtles won't kill you. They just take off
a
finger.
No, but the American would have shot me. She would have shot me.
I...
Do you know what you need? You need, like, you know in comics when it says, when they say something like, oh my God, that's at that time you fought the Red Skull and it's got a little hashtag and then it says, oh, see Captain America, blah, blah, blah. You need one of these for his podcast. What do you think Jessie's talking about? You need to have a separate accompanying podcast to explain what she's nattering on about.
Yeah, well, I'm guessing you had a near-death experience with some turtles or...
No, I found, well, Jess found some snapping turtles, also known as alligator snapping turtles, which I absolutely love. She had feeding those. But when we went through, because Gateland, a part of it, there's a walkway into just a full-on swamp.
It's like a conservation centre, so it's not boarded off, it's not...
You've got a walkway and you've got a barrier, like, to lean on, but, you know...
It's all open. Right. Yeah, so if there was a gator open. In there, the gator could climb up on that walkway.
Yeah.
And bite you. It is.
They wouldn't know. It's far too thick. But anyway, they said one of the things there were moccasin snakes. I thought, oh, that's so cute. And we found one. Oh, it's a little moccasin snake. And we're not stupid. We're not going to jab the bloody thing. But we were looking
pretty damn close.
Pretty close because it's a moccasin snake. And then someone afterwards, we heard someone said, oh, yeah, bloody cotton mouse. I was like, cotton what now?
Oh.
There's cotton mouse in there. I went, yeah, it says on the sign moccasin snake. I was like, that's the same thing?
Oh my days!
They're like deadly.
Yeah, I'll stay clear from the Gatorland. Thanks, guys. Thanks. you haven't really sold it to me at all.
Like,
you can go.
You saw a cottonmouth once.
Screw that. That scares me.
You've seen more snapping turtles, which unless you stick your finger in the water, you're fine.
Right. Yeah. I'll clear. Stay clear from that. Well, next time we win the lottery and go to Orlando. You can go there.
Next time you win the lottery.
Oh, when did that happen? Well, your other wife?
That was my other wife, yeah.
Oh, now it's Mikey.
Sorry? Yeah, yeah. Mikey. It's all a big secret. It's all a big... I'll reveal it one day. I'm just pretending to live like a poor person for now. So, we've established that Gatorland is freaking terrifying. But Dark Horizon. So, the second maze, you wouldn't say it was the scariest in the world. It's more like old school style maze. Or house, but were the actors quite interactive in this one as well? Or is it more standard?
Yeah,
scares?
It reminded me of Tully's Farm. You know the maze where it sort of goes in the coven maze.
Ah, yeah, coven.
Where it goes inside and outside and inside and outside. Where you sort of go through like a little eerie, creepy house thing.
Yes.
And then you go back out. So it was very much like that sort of
It's
setup.
Basically like lots of huts in a swamp.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So you go through huts and it starts off with the guys going, jumping out, going, he's coming to get you, he's coming to get you. Then
his wife is trying to get you to
then
him.
And the wife's the one who was one of the major ones separating you.
Yeah.
Which also kind of led into the story of he's getting people. Because he's, separate, let those go ahead. Then you get into bit where he's actually caught people and it's all butchers and dead bodies. And then you get out there, there's this big gigantic alligator, which is what he then feeds you to.
Yeah.
Now, the biggest trouble I had with that is we went early because we were going to do a whole night of other stuff and we went, it was quite light.
Right.
And the outside stuff suffered because of it.
Yeah, I understand.
Whereas
that,
as soon as that has got night time, it would have been a lot scarier.
Yeah.
But it was still, I mean, they're just... It's fantastic. I mean, the stuff they do is amazing. And they're the ones who, again, apparently, started the whole knee scrapers. You know, they run at you and scrape on the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're the people who apparently started...
Which they had lots of.
Yeah, which I presume is why they have so many of them. I think it's kind of like their trademark.
Did they have quite a few roaming out actors as well, then, throughout
the park?
Yeah,
they're devil girls who sold you drinks and roaming people on stilts.
Nice.
They had, I mean, the outside, the kind of street entertainment was quite limited, I would say. I mean, they had...
Yeah, but it was, but that's the thing, it was limited, but it was teeny.
Yeah, it was small for what it was. So they had like an aerial act where the girls were dressed up as like mermaid monster type things. And then they had like a fire breather. It was very small. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, you can see so much potential within this company. That I think, given the space and the budget, they will do it.
Do you know, I think the trouble is once we'd done the houses and we did them a few times, we were just kind of standing there going, we've watched a show, we've done the houses like five times each. We kind of want to kick around here because it's cool.
Yeah.
But there's not really sort of a seating area where you can...
Yeah, there's kind of like, there's a small little bit to eat and a small little bar. And this is where the bar being super expensive bites them in the arse, because the bar was like... reasonable price, you'd be like, stay here for a few drinks.
Course,
it's so super expensive,
yeah.
Like $4 or $5 a shot. You're kind of like, which I'm actually perfectly honest, that might be kind of standard from Erica, I don't know. But, you know what I mean, if they'd kind of had like a cheap booze or something, or like an arcade, or just, I don't know what, but something to keep you there.
Something up, yeah. Because I guess it's not like you're, with a theme park, you kind of, people know, with a theme park, you're there all night, or a screen park, you are there all night. But something like this, sort of like a pop-up thing, like you say in the Nickelodeon car park, although they've created quite a good themed experience, once you've done them, and like you say, if you went there on a quiet night, you've done all the mazes five times, you've seen the little shows, you've had a drink, you'd, after that, it would make sense just to try and keep you there as just a venue, but because the drinks are so expensive, you're thinking, ah, screw this, we've done all these houses, now let's go for a cheap pint at the pub afterwards, you know. It makes sense.
It's like that place we did for you last year. Cursed. It's the same experience there. We did the houses and they're really fun. We're standing in this field and going, what now?
Yeah, that's the issue.
Now, there's
a
little bit of street entertainment. There's a greasy burger place, but apart from that, we're kind of like, let's just go home.
Yeah, it just, I think some parks, I mean, granted, this was their first year there, and at least, I mean, I've been to some huge parks that have loads of mazes that have very, very little even street entertainment or anything like that. So, I mean, you got to give kudos that they realise that having a street team-esque idea is important, but you reckon that's something that they could build on faster than they need to build on the mazes?
Also, to be perfectly honest with you, if it was as super busy as it could have been if they'd been running for years and got the build-up, maybe they wouldn't need it because, I mean, literally, we didn't wait any longer than, like, 2 minutes for a house.
Wow.
No. I mean, but this will bring us to our next point about the fact that you can buy VIP tickets, you can buy fast passes.
Yeah.
And there is a private VIP bar. There is a private VIP section.
Yeah,
and
but you don't want to spend that much.
No, I know. That's what I'm going
to...
I mean,
we bought VIP tickets because we were like, you know, when you're coming over to America, you're like, bugger it, man. It's, you know, it's...
We're only going to be doing the one
You've already spent the money to get over there. You may as well make sure you're selling when you're there.
Yeah. And we got the fast pass, and it's like, we did not need them in the slightest.
But the problem with that is that we found that we bought, or when we go to Traumatica, we get the fast pass for each night, but on the Sunday, we never need it. But then, if you don't get it, and it's busy, you're kicking yourself, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I'm lucky we got it so early. There was like 40% off and all this sort of stuff. So it wasn't that much. But at the same time, you're like, well, look, if you're doing standard, fast pass and VIP, there should really be enough. Like Halloween Horror Nights, their version of VIP is RIP, which is a tour where you're guaranteed front of line to every house, a seat in the show, blah, blah. That's any night of the week. So that's really worth it. Where this one, maybe further down the line when we are queuing like an hour or so, that's cool. But at the moment, I just don't feel cheated because at the moment, dumbass fault. You know, I could have maybe done a bit more research on it. But I did feel a bit, it's not...
It was not me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think... I thought the VIP side of it was a bit cheeky, to be fair. Because they were given a free drinks and this and that. But it was just like... A whole section of it was cordoned off just for them.
Right.
So, which seemed a bit unfair. Like,
yeah, there's nowhere for anyone else to sit down.
No, you could go and sit down and have free drinks and a range of drinks. Whereas with normal or fast pass, the drinks you're having are sort of these pre-mixed sweet juices with gin or rum or whatever in them.
There's no harm in having like a VIP section as such, but you need to make sure that your standard / fast track customers are already quite well looked after before you look after. Like, don't get me wrong, if you bought a VIP ticket, you want to be looked after that little bit more because you spent the dollar, but you want to make sure that your original customers are well looked after, your fast pass customers are looked after just as well and a bit better, and then you can add an extra level to the VIPs. You can't really work backwards, can you? You can't say the VIPs are going to have X, Y, and Z and blah, 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 whereas the others are just going to have bog standard drinks or not a lot of seating. And yeah, it sort of makes the tiered idea of different types of tickets a little bit backwards, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if we just quickly compare it to Halloween Horror Nights, the VIP there and the standard ticket, you still get exactly the same thing, except VIP... you get free food, but they're not taking away any of the other food, though.
Yeah.
You also get front of access, but you're not doing anything different that the normal people can't do.
Yeah.
You know, you're still seeing the same show. You're still going through the same houses, but you've got priority.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. You're just adding stuff onto it rather than. It seems like they've taken stuff away from regular tickets as opposed to adding more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is a shame, but I suppose if you got the VIP, you got it all.
Yeah.
But then again, there wasn't enough. I didn't think there was enough there to warrant a VIP because I said once you've done the houses five times.
Mm.
I think when it gets bigger, maybe that will come into play. Maybe they were just chucking it all out there to see what stuck.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit. It was a bit ambitious to have those kind of tickets for year one. I mean, me and Hannah, we go to compare Dr. Frights every year, don't we? And they are in their 10th year, but they've only just now added a Fastpass system.
Mm.
Because they sort of wanted to see how things have gone over the years, see if they can warrant it, see how much more it's actually worth it, see how long their queues are getting and see if people... Do you know what I mean? You've kind of got to... Although these people might be in scare for a long time, each venue you go to is going to work completely different. You're going to have different clientele, different mazes, different actors, you know, different styles of an event. So, yeah, it makes sense just a year on year to see how it develops as opposed to sort of going year one, we've got this, that and that. You need to sort of like I say, like Dr. Frights.
Yeah, well, if you're going to have the fast pass and stuff, you need to have an environment outside the mazes that's worth being in.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like we love fast passing attractions so that we can soak up the atmosphere.
That's a good point.
If there
yeah.
isn't the atmosphere, it's not the point. I'd rather queue.
Yeah, true. Yeah, like it's we find that when we're filming our little scare cam things, it's quite nice to be able to fast pass stuff because then you can actually watch the trapeze show or the fire show or things like that. But if there's not enough of that, then there's no point fast passing the queues because you may as well burn time in the queues. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a thing that they do advertise that they say that they are the first nightclub haunt.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
And it's I mean, I can understand where they're coming from, and they call themselves a horror nightclub, and I can understand it. I mean, it's all outside. There are live DJs playing and things. It's more of a street party vibe, and without the people, you kind of don't, because it was very quiet the night we went.
Yeah.
It just made it seem more bare than it actually was, as opposed to if you had like an eerie soundtrack playing over the top or, you know, music over the top. But the fact you've got it actively trying to play itself as a nightclub, a horror club with this boom, boom, boom music and DJs, you kind of feel
which
a
I
bit...
Hate.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. It's one of those. It's like you want to go to a place and not have massive queues and it not you don't want to go somewhere that's absolutely heaving because it ruins it. But then you on the other side you don't want to go to a place that is completely dead, even though you might have a good individual experience of going through the mazes many times and you're going to meet every actor once or twice or three times. You then it just lessens the atmosphere, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, we're spoiled little bitches who want a perfect experience. I fully appreciate this.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, totally. We're spoiled little bitches as well, aren't we, babe?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And that's where I think, and I hate to bang on about it so much, but Halloween Horror Nights, I mean, obviously, they've got so much goddamn backing.
Oh, yeah.
And the park. But that's where the scare zones kind of come in handy. Because like, Jess loves Disney. I love Universal. Now, we both love them as well. Yeah. But Jess is like all about the Disney. I'm all about the Universal. So yeah, because Universal has more of a party vibe. And I was like, yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. I think that's what they were trying for. They
was trying to capitalise on that party vibe.
Yeah, but they just wasn't quite getting it.
Yeah.
This wasn't, maybe it was because the night we were there. Maybe there's just, because you know the scare zones, there's bits around. This kind of had a DJ, one stage for a show, and it's tiny, I get that. But then, I don't know, I'm no promoter of haunts. I don't know how to do it, but they just need to, maybe they need to embrace the size and not sort of go, yeah, we're a big party if you're not.
Yeah.
Maybe play it as a creepy, eerie experience.
Definitely.
You've got to, if you haven't got the party vibe, don't, you know, there's no point advertising a party and not having a party because people go, this is a great party.
Yeah.
Where if you advertise what you've got, people go, oh, yeah, no, this is what I'm into.
Yes, yeah. And again, that might be the fact that they've slightly jumped the gun for year one. Like, if they started it and realising that people are coming here to party, then year three or four, you'd go, this is the party horn. But if year one, it's hard to push things if you don't know what the customers really want, you know.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, you know, it works with any kind of business. You can't say that this theme park is a party theme park if you're actually, your clientele is a bunch of mums and kids.
Yeah.
You just got to wait and see what your clientele... Obviously, you can market it the way you want, but you have to kind of see if... You have to wait and see if what's going to happen when it arrives.
Yeah,
but I'm thinking that the haunt stuff
was great.
They got so right.
Yeah,
like the interactiveness of the pirate ship was amazing. Because I said we went through it the first time, and apart from me bashing myself up, which is hilarious, we were kind of like, but by the time we went through it five times, we'd all searching to find. Because the thing is, we got the gold coin. Right, now where's the room? Well, you're at the end of the maze now. You've got to go back out and round again. And if you didn't find it, you had to go round and round and round. Yeah. So the haunt side,
it's great.
They got so spot on.
Yeah.
I haven't even gone on about this, the Voodoo Palace, which is my personal favourite. Very close, if it wasn't for Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
Oh, wow. And that's saying something for you, Dan.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for Killer Clowns from Outer Space, it would possibly have been my favourite house, purely for the fact of how much it terrified me. It is a voodoo. Now, there's this weird thing. I listen to a lot of podcasts and haunts, especially around Halloween, because hashtag slightly obsessed. and there's this thing going on at the moment where people are saying you shouldn't do voodoo as a haunt subject. It's actually a religion.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of the American ones have been banging on about it. And I was like, but you know, you do stuff on Christianity. Like, Exorcist was a, you know, so, but everyone's been a bit like, well, this is now disrespectful. Now we're getting to the point where everyone's trying to be a lot cooler to people who haven't been cool to for a number of fucking millennia or whatever. I can understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
So I was quite surprised that they did. Because I love voodoo. I think it's, I mean, we had a voodoo wedding, for Christ's sakes. I think it's a lovely religion. It's all very earthbound and spiritual and fantastic.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I have no issues of send-ups with it. But they had this room. Now, for years, I've been banging on about the Jaws maze. And I said, this is how you do it.
Actually, I think we spoke about this in a previous podcast with you about a Jaws maze.
And I think that might be Nick.
You said if you have, I think you mentioned
Mike
it.
Mike has never seen Jaws.
I have seen Jaws.
You haven't? You told me the other day.
When do I said I haven't seen Jaws in years. Oh. You don't listen to me, wife. That's what it is.
Did you know, before I watched Jaws, I wanted to be a marine biologist.
Really?
And I saw Jaws and went, fuck the water.
Bloody hell, Steven.
They'll give you a bigger boat.
But yeah, I remember. I think it was we were at the UK Haunters showing with Faceless Ventures, and you said if you filled a room with like a black floor and a bit of water, that would terrify you because you just don't know how deep that water is. It could be anything in there.
Yes, it would. Oh, 2 years. Anyway, the idea I had, this is the thing we were chatting to Nick on his podcast.
Yeah, you know, and I was saying, farm.
Yeah.
And I was saying that if you had a barrier, fill it with smoke and do a blue laser over it so you can only see the laser and like just over waist height and not waist down, all you'd need is the Jaws music, someone with a fin to pop up every now and then.
Nice.
That's it. That's your scare zone done. And it'd be fun. And also you could have someone like pretending to swim and then get attacked and then shoot a red laser on so it looks like blood.
Oh, nice. Anyway, smart.
This is what these buggers did. He walked into a room. It was like just over waist height and they had a bright green laser and full of smoke. So below your waist, you could not see a goddamn thing.
Nice.
And I walked in and there's a guy in the corner. And this is what brings me back to the startle and scare thing. I don't know how tall he was, about 5'6", 7", whatever he was. But he had, covered in black, had like a black cone on his head with two big black horns. And I just, yeah, just completely covered up, like a black silhouette with horns. And he turned and looked at me and just went, boop, and just dropped out of view.
Wow.
I was just like, wow, where is he? Where is this guy? And I just stood there for what seemed like forever, must have been about 30 seconds, and he didn't pop up again. And I was scared.
Yeah.
It wasn't a startle. I was scared. And I've seen this done once with Tully's, where they did something where the witches popped up.
Yeah, it's sort of like like a swamp effect, isn't it? Basically, yeah, you can't see it underneath you.
But you could, but this way, in Tully's one, you had a path.
Yes.
So this one, there was no path. It was just the smoke and you. So at least with Tully, you could look down, you could see where you're walking. It'll pop up, because they used, in Tully as well, they used the fact that there was the wooden sides to hide to and pop up as well.
Yeah.
But this, there's nothing. It was literally no barrier between you and the scare actor.
I know exactly how you feel and how fucking terrifying that kind of room is. Because I mentioned it earlier, Dr. Frights, they have a house called Hollywood Horror. This was like the Hollywood Horror 3. Hannah's shitting herself just thinking about it. They basically use horror icons. I'm not going to say his name, but it might be someone that rhymes with Basin Porties. I don't know, but I don't know what copyrights are called, you know. Anyway, but we went, basically, here we are, we only have 10 listeners. Right, so basically, we went through a room and it was exactly the same as you.
That's not true. I've told you, I'll say this on air as well. I was listening to an American podcast who said you won the biggest haunt podcast. And this is an American one. They said it online. I was like,
"That
I'm telling Mikey
in the UK."
Yeah, well, that's cool. That is quite nice. No, that is nice. Thank you. Yeah. My head would go big. we went through Hollywood Horror, and they had Jason, and it just the same as what you're describing now. There was a haze. It's a haze that you can't see underneath. But unlike Tully's, there wasn't a barrier. It was just a big room with you, this swamp style,
and Jason. Light.
And Jason and his massive knife would just pop up and then go down and then pop up.
That's the thing. And the times he went through it, one time he jumped up, he literally just, because what it'd do, they'll just go under and you literally can't see anything. One time he pops up in front of me, scared the crap out of me. One time he pops up behind me, scared the crap out of me. One time he didn't even pop up at all. And I was just nervous the entire way through. And this is what I think is the same guy. Because at one point we got through that bit and he hadn't popped up and I was being like, oh God, you know, this is a bit freaky. We went round somewhere else and you know how haunts work. They've got ways of getting around the haunt.
Of course, yeah.
You know, little, not boo holes, but like little corridors they can get to other places. And we were going up the stairs and it's the same guy, or at least someone in the same dress, was standing at the bottom of the stairs. Right. And he didn't do anything. And we walked up and there was no other scare actors booting around. And I was at the back of the queue because I, as much as the room terrified me, I thought he's got to pop up, he's got to pop up. And you kind of want to see him so I know where he is, just so I know he's still hiding somewhere. So I was at the back of the queue and everyone walked up the stairs and I got to the stairs and I turned round and I stopped and looked at the guy and the guy just turned round slowly and faced me and just slowly walked up to me and followed me for the rest of the maze. And I was trying to be... I'm not the biggest person who comes to being macho by any stretch of imagination, but I was trying to like shove in front of people. So I wasn't at the back because he followed me like 5-6 foot behind, but slowly followed me from inside the thing. And again, unnerved the hell out of me. It scared me. So again, it actually genuinely made me feel fear, which I like the startles. Don't give me those start. You get startled. Oh my God. Oh, you scare me. You bugger. And you have a good laugh. And drink. but these guys actually scared me. And again, completely logical, but you start thinking of like films like The Tombs. Nice plug there. And Hellfest.
Out on DVD. What's that? Tell me about that.
Tell me more about The Tombs. No, we're talking about that at the end. Definitely.
Actually, do you know what? We can do a whole podcast. We'll do a podcast on Tombs. It's out now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, maybe we'll wait till it's out in the UK. Anyway,
yeah,
we'll
do a Tombs. I want to watch it, but I don't want to illegally stream it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Let's wait for it to be out.
Okay, in which case, as soon as it's out in the UK, we shall do a Tombs episode.
Yay.
There we go. Buzzing.
Awesome. But yeah, but like, you know, those sort of films, and like Hellfest, where it's actually, it plays in the back of your mind. The guy's not going to do anything to me, but the fact is you can't see his face, you don't know who it is. It could be a lunatic. It could just be an arsehole and wants to push you down the stairs and say it's an accident. You don't know.
Yeah.
And it's just the really, and I wish I could find who that guy was, go, mate, you did your job well, because I've never been so genuinely scared. Not apprehensive, not startled, genuinely scared.
Scared. That's good, though. That's nice. It shows that they're, like you say, they're doing their job right. Because there's so many different types of scare acting as such. And people, the startle scares or jump scares, what they call them, they are good and they are impactful and they will get you screaming and whatnot. But there is so much more of it, isn't there? There is the fact that, you know, that there's a scene that Hannah's done numerous times at Pash Hour Still Terror in Blackpool. And all it is Michael Myers, see him in front of you, he pushes a button so it all goes black. 2 seconds later, it comes on and he's behind you, a good five, six steps behind you, but he just follows you.
Before he's even turned the light off, I'm already running for that door.
Yeah. And it's not a jump scare. You even know what's happening. It's not a startle. Are just genuinely scared that he is behind you.
What? But it's, what if it's a nutter?
That's what Dan's saying. What is a guy that wants to kindly push you down the stairs?
Well, that's why I'm scared of chainsaws. Because what if one day some nutter shows up and just puts a chain on?
It's a weapon. But that is why I love the... apparently, I think there are actually enough now that haunt-based horror films are now their own subgenre.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's what's so beautiful about it, because you go there for this sort of experience, and it's literally only takes one nutter to turn it real.
Yeah.
And that is what's so, and that then feeds into your paranoia and your fears. When you go back to a natural haunt, that helps amp it up. You're like, oh shit, what if that's real? It's like Jaws to the water. I mean, I'm terrified in swimming pools. There's nowhere there's a shark in a swimming pool. That's ridiculous. But tell my bloody psyche that. You know, I'm sure everyone on Dark Horizons was vetted left, right and centre. Try telling my psyche that. Horror films have made haunts better because they feed into your fear that what if.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, definitely. And I think the haunts that pick that up... obviously, me and you, we're talking about that now, but if haunts pick up on that as well, then that's going to make it even more intense. We went to a place called Ghoulies Haunted House. Sadly, it's no longer there. But they actually showed us a chainsaw with the chain on, then they put a hood over our head, and then attacked us with a chainsaw without it on. But because we saw a chain on it, that shit us up so much more. So basically, haunt films are just making haunts better, and the more haunts that notice this, that utilise this, I think the better for future years.
There's actually, I've forgotten where it was, but some place actually did a Hellfest haunt.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Which the walkthrough didn't look that great, but the concept, bloody amazing. Mm, I was just like, I want to be there, because the Hellfest is one of my favourite films.
Yeah.
Especially when Halloween films.
We loved it, didn't we? Did we go to the cinema to watch it? Yeah, we went to the cinema to watch it.
You need to watch Haunt.
Yes, I remember you telling me. I need to... You know what I need? I need more streaming services. That's what I need.
Cause... We're in the UK, we don't get them.
Yeah, no, we can get like Amazon Prime and things like that.
I have Amazon Prime.
No, you have it so you get packages the day after.
Yeah.
Is that the same thing as TV?
Oh, it's the same, same thing.
Well, why don't we have Amazon Prime on telly then?
You've never told me you want to use it.
But I want to use it. This is how misjointed our life is.
I have it for packages, which means I also get the TV.
Oh.
But I've never used it.
Well, that's a whole other story. Sorry, back to the podcast.
Oh my God, we can watch Top Gear.
It's not called Top Gear.
I think Haunt is available to rent, unless you're in London. I've got it on multi-region. But I think you can rent Haunt at the moment.
Sweet.
But make sure you get the 2019 one, not the whatever the other one is.
Oh, okay.
There's another film called Haunt.
Well, it's a bit like Escape Room, isn't it? There's three or four of them.
Yeah.
There's some really... there's one with the killer from Scream in it, which is absolutely fantastic, which is on Prime for free.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't think I've seen that one.
That is fantastic.
That's cool. I've seen one with, was it the latest one, where they go into a room that catches on fire, then they go into like an ice place and...
Oh, yeah. Do you know what? That one is some nonsense. Yeah. That is some over-budgeted nonsense.
That's mad, that one, but, definitely.
Yeah, not I should really... No, actually, do you know what? I'm not going to slag off films because...
People have got to watch yours.
Because people have got to watch mine. Yeah, I didn't like that. The one I... For haunts and haunt horror, I think largely... sticking to the actual medium is best. Yes. Like Hellfest was a much bigger budget film, but it was done in a Halloween Horror Night style thing. I think Escape Room, that one, escape rooms aren't actually like that. That's a weird fantasy. Yes. No one knows about Horn's version of Escape Room. The Escape Room, called Escape Room with Skeet
Ulrich
in it, is the premise is, I'll tell you the premise. It's only the premise. It doesn't kill anything. Essentially, this guy's running the escape room, and the escape room is losing money, and he gets a bunch of vloggers in to do the escape room, to basically so he gets more publicity, more people come in.
I think we've seen that.
He puts a box in there, which has a demon in it or some sort of nonsense, which then possesses the thing and knocks out the cameras. So, as is the escape room game, every 5 minutes this thing gets closer to the people.
He's on a chain, isn't he?
And they need to escape. Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah. Yeah, that was decent.
Fantastic. And he doesn't want to open and let them in to ruin the experience. The assistant's like, there's no cameras. There could be, you know, there could be something wrong. He's like, it's an escape room. We can't ruin an experience. We're in bad enough states as it is. So he leaves them in there. But every 5 minutes, as they're trying to escape, these things getting closer. And I thought, that is an escape room film.
Yes.
Yeah. And
that is absolutely fantastic.
It's also something that could terrify you. That could happen to you, couldn't it? That's what just makes... So, I mean, there's not as many horror-related escape rooms we've been to. Ours, mainly the ones we've been to, have been normal style, haven't they, really? Like, it's a bank job or it's a sweet shop or whatever. But the haunt scare ones, you know, films like that are only just going to make them scarier.
Yeah.
Because you could be stuck in there with... a killer, basically. Yeah. Definitely. We need to do more films. And Hannah, I can't believe you never told me we don't have Prime.
We do have Prime.
Thanks for telling me.
You don't watch films. You don't like it.
What?
You'd always prefer to watch YouTube.
I do watch a lot of YouTube. Anyway, back to the podcast again.
I watch YouTube, actually.
Yeah. And speaking of YouTube, there's a YouTube channel that everyone subscribed to, isn't there, Jess?
There is. It's actually called Beauty and the Feast Official. It's a fantastic little YouTube channel. Coming soon.
Oh, are we plugging left,
plug,
right, center?
Plug, plug.
I have no YouTube channel to plug. I have.
You do. You have beautyandthefeastofficial.com.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a couple of films to plug at the end of the podcast, but that's me. That's
right, let's get back to the Dark Horizons.
So yeah, this final maze, Dark Horizons, this awesome voodoo maze. What sort of like jumped out? What really jumped out? Other than obviously the intense scare that you got with like the swamp style scene. What was the rest of the maze like?
Do you know, I can't remember.
There was an actual jump scare.
Yeah,
there was a woman.
There was a voodoo priestess. Who jumped out at you?
No, I'm talking about that was in the bungee jump.
Oh, I remember her, yeah.
Yeah. Slightly mistimed, that's probably why you missed her.
Well, no, it's because those other two stuck in line. So to me, that is the maze.
Just that one guy
hellfesting me, which is now I'm going to coin it. It's called
hellfesting me. So this season, we've now got people can hellfest you or Beetlejuice you.
Pretty much.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We need to come up with our own sort of haunt dictionary, don't we?
Yeah. Ooh,
let's do it. Let's on sale for Christmas 2020.
Yeah.
Let's milk this.
I'm going to start hashtagging these.
Yeah, we need to. So what was the overall experience of Dark Horizons like there? Obviously, we've mentioned it was a party that needed a little bit more party, but, you know, three mazes, that's what they got spot on.
Do you know what, if we tend to be a bit spoilt with Halloween in America, so we're not sure if we're going this year. But if we do go this year, I would definitely go back. Now knowing what it's like, knowing what they can do, and hopefully they'll just up the ante or try different things, I would be very curious, just if nothing else, to see what else they do, what else they pull out of the hat. So...
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Overall, I would say it's a haunt lover's place.
Mm.
if you're not bothered about going there to take selfies with scare actors and hang around drinking overpriced cocktails with your mates, you know, then it's not going to be that your kind of thing. But if you're genuinely there because you want to see the haunts and you want to get a fright, and if you're one of those people that will get involved, then you'll love it.
Yeah, I do think they just need a little bit more, because as I said, we went through them loads and loads of times because we are a bit haunt fanatic. It'd be nicer to have more stuff to keep you there, even if it's an arcade or I'm not sure all the legalities and finance and this sort of stuff, but just something to keep you there. So you go through the houses, you have a bit of a chill, have a bit of a chat, do something, like, oh, let's do it again.
To just add on from that, it was in a hotel car park. So it does have this strange thing where to go in to use the toilets, you go into the hotel and it's sort of like a lobby area that's got a
9-8 minute walk, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
very odd. You have like a little shopping bit in there. You know what you do in the American hotels where you can go and get your sort of Advil and...
Yeah, you think maybe some like porta potties wouldn't be... Because that's another point. It does kind of take you very, very out of the haunt atmosphere through the Nickelodeon Hotel to go to the loo and then come all the way back
to go.
Oh, it's a haunt again.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's like something simple like porta potties, we just go to the toilet and then have a scare actor waiting outside to scare you so you can step out.
Definitely, yeah. That's a good point. So basically, just the infrastructure of it, and maybe need, like you say, need a toilet, something extra. Would maybe even like a couple of fairground rides make sense, maybe?
Yeah,
I mean, the thing is with fairground rides or carnival rides, as the Americans would call it, it would have taken up too much space.
Yeah.
I think.
That's the thing, I mean, it is, with the space they had, they did fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm basically reviewing it as like a haunt princess.
Right.
Because,
you get your tiara.
Yeah, I need a tiara or something, like with pumpkins all over it and a spiced latte in the front. Because we are really, really nitpicking this, because...
We've done a lot of
them. Yeah, and that's what we do. But if someone said, should I go there? I'd say, hell yeah, man.
Well, when you messaged me about it, you're saying it has some of the best scares you've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it was definitely that. I wouldn't fast pass it next time,
no.
But I would sure as hell go. And if you can go with a bigger group, then you've got more to sort of natter and talk before you... Because literally you could do 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. You don't. You want to kind of do 1... chat about it, 2, chat about it, 3, chat about it. Oh, let's do this again.
Yeah.
So in this ideal world, being absolutely nitpicky, I think there just needs to be a little more entertainment and things to do in between the haunts. But the haunts and the actors themselves are top notch.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, the biggest takeaway is you get out of it what you put in.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah. That's good. And I mean, because me and Hannah are haunt geeks ourselves, aren't we, babe? We like that sort of stuff, because then you are coming away spending however many dollars you have, you're coming away going, that wasn't just scary, but that was fun. There's a the whole point of going to these things and getting scared is so you can have fun.
Definitely.
So if you're getting fun out of it, that's the main thing.
I bought a hat, nearly bought a t-shirt, because by the end of it, I was having so much fun. You know when you want a souvenir?
Yeah.
I was like, but buy a hat, sod it. I don't need a hat, but I'm buying one anyway.
We do that far too much, don't we? Hannah has scare pants from Goot. Like, you didn't need any more pants, but you wanted some scare pants.
Yeah.
And t-shirts. And
always need pants.
I've never worn a cap in my life, but I've got Halloween Horror Nights caps. I've got Traumatica caps.
We just bought everything at Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah. We basically just went, what can we buy?
The bauble.
Halloween Horror Nights bauble. Yeah, it was the only one they only ever made one, didn't they, that year? And we got it, and it was far too expensive.
They had no idea what to do when we asked for it. They were like, you want what? What?
We want to buy that. Yeah. I need to get a manager, find out how much that is. But anyway, yeah. That's a good point, like, you know, finishing off this on this. Merch decent, because everyone does like a little bit of merch, don't they? Was it good?
The hat was fantastic.
It's very good quality. Yeah. I mean, it was the logo on it. It's
cool.
UV
activated, but I don't like clubs, and my friends don't have any lights. So I'm not sure if it works or not. The hat was good. Good quality. Beautiful fit. Tried it on. I was also then chatting to the guy for 20 minutes about nonsense and if I wanted to bugger off. But yeah, no, I mean, it was again, very limited. Like, it was about 6-7 foot the wall about 3 foot outwards, and that was pretty much had to cashier and what stuff they had. So it's very limited.
Yeah, yeah, but it was but then the again, it's that you would find in any sort of haunt. Yeah. Really, it was a t-shirt, a hat, and then you could also get yourself some like devil horns to wear or yeah. some flashy things. And
but then
some
again,
snacky bits.
You know, you didn't need anything more. No. Like you know, I like wearing baseball caps. Boom, done. You know, $20, fantastic.
Perfect, brilliant. So.
It wasn't like Halloween Horror Nights where I spent $10 on a cotton pot of cotton candy because it's got a killer clown on it, another $10 on some popcorns that has a killer clown on it, and $10 on chocolate bars, which probably taste like arse because they've got killer clowns on it. It wasn't to that extent, yeah. But you know, the size it was, I mean, it's perfect. It's like, oh, t-shirt, cap, that'll do me. It was very,
it's bash, bash, perfect done. Size yeah. it was. Perfect. Awesome. So, obviously, coming to the end of sort of your review of Dark Horizon, you know, final words, you'd definitely say you'd do it again, and it's got some quality houses.
Yeah, and also, the thing is, because the houses were so interactive and so different, I want to see what they're going to do next.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Like, that secret bar was a little bit of genius. I was like, maybe it has been done, I don't know, I've never experienced that in a haunt. Yeah, and I've never experienced it in a haunt, never seen it haunt, and I did an old documentary on them. But it's those little ideas which makes an okay haunt amazing.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to carry on with those ideas, even if they just do the same thing again. Maybe it won't be a pirate ship, maybe do something different.
Yeah.
But they are definitely ones to follow. And they said if I was in that area, I'd be insane not to go out of my way to go to another one of their nights.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I mean, Orlando, it's a, let's be honest, it's a theme park capital of the world. It's a destination yeah. that's getting hundreds of thousands of visitors. So you're basically saying anyone that's flying out, a lot of people from the UK fly out each September, October as well. You're definitely saying they should go and visit Dark Horizon.
Oh, yeah. But make sure you empty your bag because they took my water, they took my chewing gum, they took my pen.
Wow.
I was like, why have you taken my pen? So in case you stab someone. It's a pen!
True.
Yeah, security is high there. Yeah.
Okay.
That was the only down point that really genuinely pissed me off. Because I just, man, my gum? What am I do with gum? You could put it in people's
chewing
hair.
Chewing gum, not gum.
Yeah, gum. Yeah. G-U-M for mother.
Is that what you can do with it? So you might put it in someone's hair. And it's like, oh, come on, give me a break.
That is quite intense, isn't it? Yeah.
But I suppose that's a good thing because they're looking out for their scare actors.
True. Yeah, good point. You never know.
Because so many scare actors get a punch in the face by some asshole.
What's they got to do with gum? Just high on chewing gum.
Yeah. There was a place we went where they weren't letting people in with big cameras.
Mm. I think you should also definitely try the voodoo juice from the Devil Ladies.
Oh, nice.
It was, I don't know what was in
it. It genuinely made things a bit more fun.
Yeah.
It sounds, I know that's what alcohol is meant to do.
But it was a right concoction.
Yeah, it was,
whatever
it was perfect
was.
Balance. We went through the first one, went, nah, that was okay. Had it, and it was only a shot. And it's not like we were rat arse or anything. It was just, things a bit more fun. I'm not sure what was in it.
Probably a lot of E-numbers.
A lot of E-numbers,
yeah. It's sugar. It's hardly any alcohol. It's just the amount of E-numbers in it.
Yeah.
Definitely. Awesome. Right. Well, I mean, thanks for obviously coming on and talking all about Dark Horizon. I'm quite jealous that we haven't been and that it wasn't there when we went a few years ago. But it'd definitely be on our list if we were to go again, isn't it?
With your lottery winnings.
With those lottery winnings. So,
with your UK Haunter crossover holiday.
There we go. Oh, we can all dream, definitely. We need to. Yeah, that'd be awesome if we both went out there. We're just. Yeah. That would we would tear the
Let's
place
start a GoFundMe page. Please fund this.
Yeah. Basically, UK Haunters and Scare Track need to have a really good time on your behalf. So if you could give us a load of money, that'd be great. You can join our Patreon, guys. Anyway, but yeah, so okay, Dark Horizon Orlando, guys, obviously listening now, make sure you go and like their social media. They are Dark Horizon Orlando on Instagram and Facebook. Their website is currently down at the moment, I'm guessing, because they're rebuilding it for next year. And that could be a really good thing. It could mean that they have either more houses or more things to offer. Like you guys say, they need a little bit more things to do in between the haunts. Dark Horizon getting a big thumbs up from UK Haunters.
Yeah.
Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff.
While I've got the listeners here, so I haven't got bored of my nattering yet, UK Haunters is actually playing on Horror on Sea at 8 p.m. on Friday the 17th of January, which will be the Friday after this airs. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. Friday after this airs, definitely.
Yes. And it has been named by, I've forgotten the website because I looked at it briefly 2 hours ago, but it's named as one of the top films you must see at Horror on Sea, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. That was our houseoftorturedsouls.com.
That's the one.
There we
go.
So, yeah, definitely be checking that out, guys. And
at
UK 8
p.m.,
Haunters.
Everyone's finished work, so pop down.
Yeah, definitely. Try and get there. And UK Haunters, obviously, you're in talks with people so far about where else it could be played and when eventually it might come out and where it would be streamed. But I'm sure if anyone wants to find out on where they can eventually see UK Haunters or support it, what are your socials for UK Haunters?
It is, it is at UK Haunters _movie, I believe. It's like your own phone number. You don't know.
You don't call it. Yeah, that's it.
I don't ever have to use it. I just go on my app and tweet away.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't tag yourself.
Yeah, UK Haunters _movie.
Perfect.
There we
go. So head over on Instagram. Give them a like. Give them a follow on there. Obviously, they are on...
also on Facebook as well.
Yeah, so...
UK Haunters movie. UK Haunters,
you know, I was just about to search it. You had it already there for me, Dan. Spot on. Excellent. So, yeah, UK Haunters movie on Instagram and Facebook. And of course, we will. We've spoke about that at length on previous episodes and over on our YouTube channel as well. But that is just the beginning. I'm very excited to see where this goes moving forwards in the future. Very excited to see it again. And Jess, of course, you've got your new YouTube channel as well, Beauty and the Feast, which is all about. You're basically
eating
a big foodie, aren't you, Jess?
Food.
It's food and travel, so it's going to be encompassing me eating a shed ton of food and the occasional post about Disney food and Universal food and Halloween stuff and spooky stuff at Disney and Universal.
Perfect.
So it's basically an excuse for me to eat a shit ton of food.
That sounds... Hannah, why have you not thought of this?
I should do this with beer.
Yeah. You should do this for beer. Oh my god, you should do this for like kind of different alcohol.
Do it!
Oh my god.
And then we can do a collaboration video where we just drink loads and eat loads.
I mean, this sounds like a date.
Perfect.
That sounds spot on. Take my money. We shall go to Orlando. Awesome. And of course, guys, we need to touch on this before we finish, but we will talk about it probably when it's out here in the UK. But The Tombs is now available over in the US.
Yep, it's Amazon.com. It's on Blu-ray and DVD, and I believe it's streaming on Amazon and Apple, iTunes?
iTunes. Yeah, that's correct.
Perfect, awesome. And fingers crossed, sometime soon it should be coming over here to the UK, so our UK listeners can give it a watch too.
Yeah.
I mean, if our UK listeners have a multi-region DVD player...
Or multi-region Blu-ray player, then they can order it. It does cost a hell of a lot to get it shipped over here, so if you've got the patience, I would wait for the UK release.
Yeah.
Because the shipping... I mean, I had to buy my own goddamn film. It cost a lot to get over here, but it's my film, I wanted a copy.
Absolutely.
If you've got the patience, I'd say wait for the UK release, because if you've got Prime, it'll be free shipping.
Oh, of course, yeah, absolutely.
And get you in a day, but as I said, once that's out, I'll let everyone know, and we'll do another... a proper in-depth thing about that, because that is a spiritual prequel to UK Haunters.
Yeah.
That's what really kicked off my curiosity for the inner workings of Haunts, which then led that documentary, so it's quite nice.
Yeah, to sort of see how the love of Haunts and UK Haunters sort of started back with that film, definitely, yeah. Because it was all shot at the London Tombs and the London Bridge Experience, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Which we need to make another visit, babe.
I know, it's been a while.
It has been a while, definitely.
London's just too busy for me.
We filmed in there for 3 weeks straight, nighttime shoots, and I have never done it because I'm too scared.
Right, well, that's it. That said, next time we are in London, we are taking Dan and Jess of UK Haunters to London Bridge.
Do you know what? I've never done it either.
Never actually done it.
I found about the place when I was filming Celebrity Ghost Hunts there. Mm-hmm. And then I was there for press night. Then I was there for pitching the film. Then I was there for filming. I mean, I've been there and I've been through it 100 times. But and the only time I've gone through it once is my day job is I'm a support worker. Mm-hmm. And I was doing a piece of work with some guy who wanted to get over his fear of being antisocial. So we were going to public interactive events and he wanted to go to London too. So we went there. We sort of said, oh, we want to do this guardian angel thing where it's not scary, where he gets the people to chat. I mean, it worked. The guy who came out of his shell was a fantastic piece of work I did. But the thing is, it was the lower version because we didn't want to scare the guy. He just wanted people to come out and chat to him so he could confront his fears of antisocialism and help gain confidence, which works amazingly, but it wasn't scary. So I've never actually been through it as a member of the public full on. And then we did the press night there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was directing people where, do you know,
we'll do it. We're going to do it.
We'll do it.
You know what? That's a date. We are coming down to London. We're going to take you there. We know the owner as well. So, you know, who knows? We could maybe film you two getting absolutely terrified for Scare Camp.
And then at the end, there's now like a little bakery.
Is that what you're calling it?
A bakery?
Yeah, it's a cream.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they sell waffles.
Obviously, because we work there, I've known the guy for so long. Last time I was there, he said, "Oh, Dan, so nice to see you. Anything on the menu, it's free." And I was like, "I'm on a diet." I was just like,
"It could be worse." I'm on a diet, and I've just managed to lose. This is going off the subject now, guys. If you want to click stop, thanks for listening to the podcast. But if you want to carry on, I am on my after Christmas diet, and I have probably unhealthily just lost 11 pounds in 1 week. Which I'm
quite,
£11 1 week.
And then he keeps having a go at me.
I keep having a go at you because we went to the gym together yesterday and as soon as you come home, you cracked open a Stella.
Well, deserved Stella.
And today, I have shown you the app and I've put in all my calories and I am under my calories. Yeah, you've put in under all your calories and you've just eaten an entire Terry's chocolate orange.
Yeah, and it's in there.
And it's in there and you've gone over your calories by 1,000.
So?
And no one
cares. How the hell did you lose 11 pounds?
Yeah, what did you do?
Basically,
didn't eat.
No, I did eat.
I didn't eat and judged me for eating.
No, I did a 5K my first day. Ooh. I went to the gym the second day. I swam the third day. I went to the gym the fourth day.
It's not a life.
And then, no, it's just an hour after work. And then I also only stuck to 1,700 calories a day, but I've actually been doing less because I've just been having basically lots of chicken and
it's not a life.
And
who wants to live that way?
Rice and stuff.
No one.
Well, do you know what this is?
Go on.
This is a bag of Halloween candy that I've been eating my way through whilst doing this. I am surrounded by wrappers of Halloween-themed drumsticks and lollipops.
See, I'm on a diet. I've been eating bugger all but health.
See, here's the thing. All that stuff, Jess, I would have eaten the day I got it. That's my issue. So, I'm if it's in front of me, like when I go shopping and I shove something in the cupboard, it's probably going to get eaten before the day after. Like, I can't just have a bit. If I have a biscuit, I have to have the entire pack of biscuits.
So, no self-control.
Zero. See, I'm great like that. Whenever I go to America, I literally we bring a spare suitcase for American food. Now, Jess is like that. Jess will eat it like a dog. You know, she does.
Excuse me?
Dog.
Wow.
You do. Dogs, if you put food in front of a dog, it'll eat and eat and eat and eat and eat till it's sick.
I can't believe you've just said that.
Well, it's on record now. This is still a podcast, technically.
This is still recording. I don't know if any listeners are still listening, but it's still recording. And I'm going to cut that bit.
Only the hardcore! You want to hear divorce via podcast. Whereas what I do is I'll stick it all in the metal drawers upstairs. And it'll be there for like, there's certain things up there. It's been there for over a year because I haven't quite fancied it yet.
See, I just steal Hannah's food when I run out of mine.
But I'll go super, super strict diet. But Friday night, I'll go, well, look, I've had some jalapeno cheesos and chocolate bars. So I'll go up to my drawer and I'll munch on them. But
you're just a hoarder.
But because I eat them. I'm not a hoarder because I actually work my through them, just very, very slowly. But the rest of the time, once I'm on my calorie counting, I am on my calorie counter.
Yeah, that's basically exactly the same as me. I'll just eat and eat and eat and eat, but if I'm on it, boom, I'm on it. Like, I won't touch alcohol now for 6 weeks. I won't touch any chocolate. I'm basically on it. So I'm similar to you, Dan. I'll eat when I want, but when you're on it, you're on it.
Yeah. If you're going to do something, do it properly.
Exactly, which is what I try and tell my wife.
Ever snack.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we should end the podcast there because we're now. This is the second podcast we're talking all about food and diets now.
At least I'm awake now.
Yeah, at least you've woke up from your nap.
Ready for bed.
Ready for bed. That makes no sense. Right. Well, this ended in a weird way, but it was still lovely to speak to you guys. It's nice to have all four of us on in one go, wasn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
I'm sorry I was grumpy at the start.
You made up for it, don't worry.
I'm like, Hannah, wake up. They're waiting. What? We're doing a podcast? Are we? Yes. Yes, you had a nap, so you'd be awake for the podcast. Oh. Anyway.
I'm like your nan. When your nan goes for a nap and wakes up and doesn't know what anything's going on, I'm like that.
Okay. Sounds about right.
Nan Hannah.
Yeah. Nan Hannah. The one that doesn't speak close enough to the microphone. Anyway, let's end it there. Guys, remember to follow UK Haunters. Dan, Jess, thank you very, very much for coming on and putting the world to rights with us. We always enjoy it.
Cool.
We'll chat soon, guys. Bye-bye.
Awesome. Yeah, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
You're listening to Scare
So, guys, there we go. A huge thank you to Dan and Jess for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast yet again to discuss Dark Horizon. Very excited to talk about lots of things with Dan and Jess from UK Haunters. We love doing a collaboration with those guys, whether it be here on the podcast or over on Scarecam. You can check those out at youtube.com/ScareTrack. So, Dark Horizon sounds like a fantastic event, and their mazes seem high quality. Like I said, go and follow them. They're on Instagram, Dark Horizon Orlando. Drop them a follow, and their website I'm sure will be up and running again as soon as the new season starts. But yeah, really want to get over there, probably not this year but some year soon I hope. So a little bit of housekeeping regarding the Scare Trap podcast. We apologise, we had a little bit of a longer break than we thought over Christmas. Myself and Hannah work real jobs and they get right in the way during the Christmas period, but we are back and ready to go. We have got lots of interviews lined up, a few events lined up over the off season, and then of course just around the corner it would be Halloween again. It sounds like a long time away, but it will be here much faster than you think. Loads of stuff happening here for the Scare Trap podcast in 2020. We just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who supported us in 2019. It was our busiest and craziest year. Absolutely fantastic. We enjoyed every single minute of it. Even my cats in the background that you can probably hear as well. We launched our Patreon page, and a huge thank you to everyone who joined us. And if you want to get exclusive episodes purely for Patreon supporters, you can join us over on Patreon now. Just go to patreon.com/scaretrack and you can join us on the $5 tier or the $10 tier to get some extra content. Don't worry though if you don't want to join us, because we'll always be putting out our episodes as often as we can here on wherever you're listening to this podcast episode. Remember, you can get everything ScareTrack related over on our website. If you're not listening there, www.scaretrack.co.uk. That's where we have our podcast, our scare cams, our merchandise, our absolutely everything. Our contact details are over on there, as well as our social media links. We're on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter and Facebook. We'll be using all four platforms over this 2020 year. Just search for ScareTrack. So I think that brings us to the end of this episode. A huge thank you once again to UK Haunters. Be sure to drop them a follow. Very excited for when UK Haunters becomes available for everyone to watch here in the UK. And of course, the Tombs movie is now out in the US, and it will shortly be out in the UK as well. So keep an eye out over on our social media channels. We'll let you know as soon as they are available to watch, download, stream, any way that you can purchase a copy of those movies. So, thanks so much for listening, guys, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye, guys.